Is your food cost taking a hit with the crazy supply chain issues? How many more times can you raise prices without losing customers? If you're nodding your head yes as you say that, then we got a show for you. You're in for a treat because we've got Kyle and Sarah waiting in the wings, and he'll join us in the studio in just a few moments.
Welcome to Turning the Table, the most progressive weekly podcast for today's food and beverage industry, featuring staff-centric operating solutions for restaurants in the hashtag New Hospitality Culture. Join Jim Taylor of Benchmark 60 and Adam Lamb as they turn the tables on the prevailing operating assumptions of running a restaurant in favor of innovative solutions to our industry's most persistent challenges. Thanks for joining us. And now, on to the show.
This episode is made possible by eVocalize. eVocalize makes complex local digital marketing push-button easy for anyone. Empower your franchises with programs that automatically optimize performance and program spending across Google, Facebook, Instagram, and TikTok, all from one easy-to-use collaborative marketing platform. To find out more, go to turningthetablepodcast.com/eVocalize.
My name is Adam Lamb, and I'm here with my co-host, Jim Taylor. We're dedicated to bringing you solutions to the hospitality industry's most persistent challenges. We ask that you share the show with someone you care about who can find this information useful and leave a review. Links to the videos and any other things discussed in the show can be found in the comments and the show notes. And this is episode 133. Morning, Jim.
Morning, Adam.
How are you?
Great. How are you, pal?
I'm good, man. It's good to see you.
Good to see you, too. We're really excited about having Kyle on because he's such a powerhouse in this industry. Kyle's a recovering restaurateur. He's hosted the National Restaurant Owners Podcast and now the Restaurant Idea Factory. Kyle joins us to talk about the ways that restaurant owners can positively affect their customers' experience without raising prices while at the same time increasing their profitability without sacrificing their staff's value proposition. And man, isn't that last one important?
Yeah, it should be an interesting discussion. I think Kyle can insight for us. Kyle, how you doing?
What's up, guys? How's it going?
Hey.
Yo.
And so, Kyle, I would like to ask, how are you really?
Oh, tired. I'll be honest with you, you caught me mid opening up a Celsius right here, which is like a sugar free energy drink. And I was like, I better hold off on opening it. Yeah, I don't know.
As long as we can see what the can is, open it all day.
Yet an opportunity.
If you don't let us see what it is.
Celsius. It's
your next podcast.
There you go.
In every show, we throw this graphic up, courtesy of our friends at chowco.org, using a meat temperature to gauge emotionally how you're doing, which I think is pretty unique. And I know that there's a lot of folks out there who are starting to adopt this in order to get an idea of what the temperature is like in their operation. And there's other things like it. I Got Your Back program, which is similar to this. But again, it's this idea of being proactive about people's emotional stability when they're in operation and creating a safe environment for actually to speak out and like really tell you what it's like. So what temperature are you, Kyle? What do you think?
Let's see. I'm probably somewhere between medium rare and medium.
Fantastic. Any particular reason why?
A lot of reasons why. Number one, I love talking about restaurants right now. Honestly, this is perfect because I was negotiating an LOI with the landlord just prior to this. Almost anything's better than that.
Right.
Yeah. Thank you. Talking with you guys is like, definitely made me more content and relaxed. And
fantastic.
Maybe yesterday I was more on the medium well side, but yeah, I would say somewhere between medium and medium today.
Great. Mr. Taylor?
I'm glad to hear that you're not saying you're stressed or scared or scared. Irritated that you're talking to us. That's good.
I think you're good content though.
Yeah. I think I'm rare today. I'm feeling pretty good. I'm excited about this discussion. I think it's always a pleasure to get a chance to chat with Kyle and feel encouraged about what's going on in the restaurant world right now. Read some pretty good stuff the last few days. Have lots of good discussion with some operators recently. How about you, Adam?
I got to say medium well, and that's probably due to more of a physical condition than anything. I got three back surgeries thanks to the hospitality industry. Yay. And probably looking at a fourth, and I'm doing everything I possibly can in order to mitigate that and get strong so that the recovery time is short. So just dealing with that. But again, I'm really happy, really jazzed to be here and to get in this conversation. But why don't we do that?
Let's go.
Kyle, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Jim.
Oh, I was just going to ask Kyle, we're talking about the temperature thing. I was just going to ask him, what's your temperature gauge on the industry right now? What do you think?
I know it's crazy. I was having this conversation yesterday with a buddy of mine who works peripherally with the industry. And then I had another similar conversation with somebody who works more hands-on with the real estate piece, same sort of niche that I'm in. Mm-hmm. And in New York, like how we were in the city yesterday, it's packed. You can't get reservations. You can't. Lunch is packed. Dinner is packed. The city is buzzing. Where I live in the suburbs, same deal. The restaurants, the good ones, are still humming. I'm optimistic about the industry. There's some still like rumbling stuff about what's happening in Midtown New York in regards to the office lunches are not quite as busy, particularly on Mondays and Fridays. People are doing their own thing. But in other parts of the country, I'm hearing good things. It's frothy, as I would describe it, in terms of activity. A lot of inquiries, a lot of people that I've reached out to that weren't interested at the time, reaching back out. People looking for new opportunities. There's a new wave of vacancies that are coming up. I still feel like we're in a little bit of a shakeout phase when it comes to who is still hanging on to some money that they owe the landlord from the COVID time, trying to make it work with the labor piece. But I definitely feel like it's gotten to be less. But I still feel like we're kind of like at that next level of sifting through.
Yeah. Interesting. Yeah. The thing in the news that I keep seeing in the last few days is that all of a sudden, the first piece that I saw that led to some of this was that it's to the forefront now that the restaurant industry is one of the largest employers of people in the country again, in the U.S. and same in Canada. And now they're basically, I've started to see some articles and things in the news the last 2 days saying that some of this labor shortage is almost gone. You ask an operator that, they might say one thing, but in terms of statistics, they're starting to say things like, we're almost back to the same level of employment that they were pre-pandemic, which is really interesting.
I've heard that too. I've heard both sides. Like, hey, no, you know what? We're good. We're rocking. And then I keep hearing, it's again, to me, that the folks that are talking about having a labor issue, I think you got to internalize that a little bit and see what's going on there. That's not always what it seems, as you guys know. But I think the ones who've taken that opportunity to look themselves in the mirror and say, okay, we got to figure out how we can be more attractive. And they did. And they're getting those people. And I think as somebody in the hospitality industry, the opportunities are still immense opportunity. Showing up is 90% of the job right now. And if you're looking to build a career and skyrocket up to some sort of corporate level leadership position, that is cut in half now, I think.
Sure.
You're going to put hustle in.
Yeah, for sure.
So I'm curious, Kyle. Every time anybody's so if COVID was like the culling of the herd and thinned out the operators that maybe didn't necessarily understand their business very well, or maybe they weren't restaurateurs to begin with or whatever. So is there a common theme that you're seeing from those that actually survived the culling and, like you said, are just like hammered out?
I think the ones that have survived have taking that time to assess what was not working for them. And to be honest, I think they've trimmed what they've had to do, that hard look in the mirror and say, yeah, you know what? Maybe we don't need to do this, or maybe we should this messaging needs to change. And they've walked that hard path of, it's me. You know what I mean? Like, there's only so much external. If everybody's going through the external stuff, and the complaining that you're doing really is an echo of what your problems are. So you're complaining, I don't have staff. Okay, then it's probably you. Sales aren't good. Okay, are you doing anything to attract customers? Does your food taste like shit? Oh, sorry, does your food not taste great? Like, it's you have to look at it. And I think and their menus, they focused on technology, personalization, the guest experience. And I think that's why people are coming back. That's why I think they've done it, but it's not the external issue anymore.
I had a poll on LinkedIn recently that asked culinary professionals, what do you think is holding you back from your dream job? And one of the options was not enough opportunity.
Mm.
And that ranked really high in responses. And I was shocked by that because I know from, as Jim and I, and you do, we constantly looking at what's happening in the industry. And every time I get an email from Indeed for job opportunities for chefs or corporate chefs or whatever, that list is so fucking long.
Yeah.
So I'm trying to figure out, okay, either you have an idea about a position that doesn't exist in reality, or that you can't, I couldn't understand why they were so focused on not enough opportunity when in fact there seems like a huge opportunity. Maybe it's they don't want to lessen their standards or go for maybe a healthcare job or whatever. And it was just weird for me to get those responses and to try to understand deeper what's holding them back from that. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. It certainly sounds like that's the opposite of what we're talking about. Like people are saying, the restaurants are saying, we don't have enough people to work. And
right.
They're saying, there's not enough opportunity. When there's a communication disconnect.
Yeah.
People are saying, we need people. It seems like that shouldn't be a concern. Yeah, I'm shocked at that response as well.
Yeah, it's interesting. I think I was having a discussion with somebody about this the other day that some of the interesting change that's happening in the industry is, so there's companies that are putting out these postings saying that they've got these positions available, this opportunity available. Some of the people that are applying for them, maybe they think they're ready for that opportunity. The company doesn't see that they're quite qualified yet because they have a lack of experience. The company's looking for a certain individual that may not even exist in the industry anymore because they're off doing something else. Right. And so you're right. I think, Kyle, there's that disconnect. Or the person who's looking for the job wants to have a hybrid work model and work from home 2 days a week, and they're looking for somebody in the hospitality space.
Sure.
I think it's in an interesting state of sort of transition and flux. But,
and I think so long it was, I think it's in one of the, not a Bourdain book or Restaurant Man, one of those like books that it was like, the thing about finding line coats was it used to be like, hey, go around the corner. And when they're on a break and be like, hey, I'm a big organizer, it's 15. All right, I'll pay you 16. Do you want to come work for me? Yeah, sure. But now that approach doesn't work. And it's not all about the money. Actually taking the time to find out like, hey, what do you want from this job? I'm looking for something flexible, or I can only work lunches because I got a kid, or I got to pick him up at 3 and I can't figure out the whatever. You got to just be more involved. I think figuring out what that person needs. And I also think looking outside of the industry, like particularly for front of the house positions, hiring those personalities that somebody could be working at a bank that has a tremendous personality. Like, hey, looking for something else. And you never know. I think that it's, you got to look at all your options.
Your happiness and job satisfaction might necessarily mean that you take all those skills that you gain with the hospitality industry and step outside and do something else. In my own career, I took a sabbatical twice. And every time I was able to come back more focused, more energetic, more grounded, because I was taking coaching courses and things like that in order to make myself a better supervisor in the space of creating a safe and welcoming environment for my staff. So stepping outside is a great way of actually taking time to reconnect with your core values and figure out, like, do I actually want to come back? As a matter of fact, I have a brand new client who's trying to figure out where she wants to come back in the space. And we also have to hold open the option that maybe she doesn't get a job in the industry, right?
Yeah.
It's definitely a unique time, but I don't think you can approach somebody with a situation that is not, nothing will seem like it's too crazy. So if you need to make it work for you beyond whatever the compensation is, figuring out the dynamic of the job and how you can fit in, the right employer will be understanding of that. So maybe there's the lack of opportunity in terms of people not understanding that you need to get this feedback from the applicants. I know that Jensen on the Riff show, he was talking about how there's this whole issue of putting the ad out and people not coming in for their interview. And when that happens, they're kind of like, now what do I do? I have the ad out there here and no one is showing up. So he does this thing where, hey, he gets them on Instagram or sends them a text with a video that says, hey, this is Jensen. Just want to remind you, I'm really looking forward to our interview tomorrow, et cetera, et cetera. And that is when he starts to realize that connection is holding them accountable for that meeting.
Correct.
So I think you got to get creative. You got to get creative.
Yeah, for sure. So what, switching gears here a little bit, Kyle, we wanted to talk a little bit about that value proposition to the customer and the service experience, right? What's talking about this, have your finger on the pulse and be understanding what's going on in the business. What kind of cool stuff do you see going on, whether it's in your area of the US or the market in terms of customer experience?
I've noticed a lot more personalization, a lot more attention on the technology stuff and being able to leverage that data into an experience, a digital experience that translates into a in-person experience. So whether it's acknowledging when the last time you were there or understanding when, you know, that you order a certain dish or get a certain glass of wine because you have that information at your fingertips now, I think it's ultimately turned into that merging of those two worlds, the meshing of those two worlds that, like, hey, we have the information, we have the data to see when you made the reservation, when the last time you were here, and we're using it to really create this experience for you in-house. And that's why I see these groups doing it. Whether you get a text reminder or you get what have you, it's an opportunity to create that digital hospitality connection with somebody that when we were coming up, you can only get in touch with people when they came in the door. Now you have this ability to realize, like, hey, Mr. and Mrs. Smith come in every Tuesday with their kids who, oh, by the way, just got accepted to Harvard that I saw on Instagram. If you can say, hey, here you meditate. Thanks for coming back. By the way, just wanted to congratulate you guys. I saw the news. That is so powerful.
Yeah.
Andy Meyer didn't dream of that ever. And it's okay to do that. And I think groups that pay attention are nailing it.
Yeah. And what's your take?
I just think that personalization is so incredibly powerful. Yeah, it blows me away. And the technology gives us the opportunity to do that all the time.
Yeah.
Whether on whatever platform and connecting with not only our customers, but also potential employees and associates. And the smart operator will go where that clientele and potential associates are, whether that's TikTok or LinkedIn or whatever. Like, Kyle, I'm just curious, have you seen a lot of operations niching down, like taking a look at their menu and saying, okay, it's every time we're trying to be all things to all people, everybody's pissed off. And so have you seen like some operations niching down to like their most powerful offerings and just put their stamp on that?
I have seen a lot of concepts as a guest tighten things up. Like, I have noticed, we were at a restaurant here last night, and my wife and I looked at each other. We go there fairly frequently since they opened, and it was like, hey, does this menu change? It didn't look like smaller, well, the same size menu, but something looked like it changed. I went back. I had, of course, taken a picture of one time I was there. They removed like one item. They removed like one item from every category, but it didn't. Only I would notice that. They wouldn't notice. Their average guest wouldn't notice that. That's smart. Now, it's a John George restaurant, so he knows what he's doing. It's very scaled. It's not a mission. It's not that level. It's a top.
Sure.
Yeah.
It's the same mindset. So you can't. I say it all the time. A Michelin star is not what you are, fantastic, but look at what they're doing. And that is, you can apply it on some level to your operation. And again, that's something only a maniac like me would see. But I think if you really start to look at things and as an operator and say, hey, we are in a situation where we need to make more money. So we either have to drive more sales or we have to cut expenses. So let's start there. And I think that's where these guys are having some success.
Yeah, interesting. Okay, so your comment about information and data, I had a really good discussion the other day about QR codes and about how there's this, I'm starting to definitely see, and I think in a lot of the markets, this like sort of shift back to the nostalgic, people want a handheld menu, right? Mm-hmm. Customer wants a menu, the guest wants a menu. And a lot of operators are saying, traditionally in restaurants, it's part of the seating process and
sure.
the server can walk you through it and all this stuff. But then you get the biggest, most successful companies are going, no, QR code.
Yeah.
So I don't know. What's your thought on that? Do you need a menu in your restaurant for from a value proposition for a customer, or is the smart thing to stick with the way you get the most information?
QR code. If there was a QR code last night at this place, it would have been a little, it would have definitely impacted the experience, I think. No. Like I said, it's not John George pricing. It's not that type of thing, but you have a little bit of an elevated experience to it. And if they were just like, oh, hey, scan the QR code in the plexiglass thing on the table, it would have definitely, to me, cheapened the experience. And I also think, to me, again, personally, if they had a small QR code on the window, I also would feel like that's not the place. I think they have to get a little bit more creative. But I do think they're perfect for certain concepts. And certain concepts I would rather, right? Like, you don't right. need to go up to, I'm not looking for a hospitality experience from McDonald's. Get out of there. Hey, not a knock on, but if you're a, look, I'm just feeding people here and we'd love to provide some sort of value. That value could very well come in form of a QR code. Yeah. Some people will be like, just, I don't want to talk to you. Let me order my beer and my burger and my fries.
Sure.
And sit out here by the patio and bring mm-hmm. it on out to me. But yeah, I don't think it's a universal application.
Yeah. And it definitely serves a particular market. It's, I think it's awful hard to do a menu tour for a server on a QR code.
We were in Whistler, a ski resort last week, and ended up at a fairly nice, a little bit above mid-grade restaurant, not fully fine dining. But the first thing that I noticed actually was, speaking of where the industry's at, just finger on the pulse, the pricing was insane. Everything is, they're taking advantage of the opportunity that exists with traveling and tourism coming back. But the interesting thing that I found was the server, when we were sat, actually asked, would you like a QR code or would you like a menu? And I think it was just an interesting way for them to, there's probably a good chunk of people that are like, I just give me the QR code. I don't want to go through the menu thing. Yeah. They're taking advantage of the opportunity to get some information so they can target and be specific about what they're doing, but not using the nostalgic side of the menu thing. So anyway, I'm really trying to keep my ear to the ground on that one.
That I think that goes back to that personalization. You're offering both, right? You have an assortment of wine, assortment of beer. People have different tastes, different whatever. If it doesn't necessarily cost the server anything, doesn't cost you anything to laminate a few QR codes. QR code? Yeah, sure. I can put that on the table, or we have these nice menus for you. Whatever you, I think that's a great go-between.
Yeah, I thought it was interesting.
Is there anything that jumps out at you right now, Kyle, as a way to that operators are creating more value with their, like, increasing the value proposition for the guest without necessarily raising prices and stuff like that?
I think that what I have experienced, you know, lately has been actually very attentive service type thing. Now, I say that, and I know a lot of New York City restaurants they expect that. New York City diners expect a certain level of being catered to. But again, you can be a beachfront cafe that provides that same level of attention to the customer. That's what they want. They want to be heard. And again, I don't want to beat this to death, but that personal experience, the extent that you can provide it, that doesn't cost you anything. That's just paying attention. And you have the ability to pay attention digitally with the data that you have, with social media, with all that stuff. If you're paying attention, you're not just, hey, how are you? What can I get you? That just falls flat. No one's coming back for that. People want that experience. And that's what everybody craved during COVID was. That's what I didn't understand. People were like, when the restaurant shut down, they were like, oh, where's everybody going to eat? That's not the point, man. Like, we go out because we want that social interaction. Yeah. And I think to the extent that you can level up that, you know, hey, how you enjoying that IPA is a lot different than, is everything okay over here?
Couldn't agree more. That's my pet fucking peeve. Yeah. Is someone to come out, is everything okay? Like, you're standing right above the table and you can go down there and scan. Okay, so there's a couple pieces of tuna left. So how was that tuna, sir?
Yeah.
It's like you said, it's not taking any more time. It's just paying attention. And I guess I get when we reopened and everybody rushed in, because again, like you said, Kyle, they're desperate for that human connection that wasn't there for a year and a half. When they ran into the restaurants, I know that it was just, everybody's just hanging on for dear life. And now things have, feels like it's stabilized a little bit. And we still have this unique opportunity to raise standards, if only paying attention.
Yeah. Yeah. That's the thing. Hey, are you not enjoying that? It's been preached for so long, but people are more savvy. They know what they missed, right? They know what they expect. And now you have people who are upping their game. So that if you're not paying attention, that gap gets wider. Mm-hmm. Now you have to, you already weren't there. And now you're going to have to try to play catch up. It's, I think it all just comes down to looking. It's you. Somebody said that to me when we first started our restaurant. He's like, hey, I'm gonna make this real easy for you. And I thought the guy was a complete ass all the time. I was like, if the same thing keeps happening, it's probably you.
It's,
And I was like, you're probably right. And once that's like the most freeing thing that I think you could say is, okay, I have the ability to fix this, but it's not easy for everybody to do on a consistent basis.
And we're not here to give life or career advice to everybody in the world, but that applies to pretty much everything.
And I don't want to belabor the point, Kyle. This is one of the things that has driven me to do this work, is because I know what it feels like to be a victim of circumstance, right? And to feel like a victim of circumstance. It's out of your control. You can't change anything. Everything pretty much sucks. And to be able to shift just my perspective into, I can own this circumstance. I can own my opportunity, because then at least I feel like I have a power to change it. So when you say it all comes down to you, it also comes down to you and your ability to place yourself in a space where you can basically choose to do anything, right? And choose to be here or not choose to be here.
Right.
Yeah.
So what's your level of involvement? That's the talk about looking outside the industry. You talk to somebody in tech or in some sort of like project management based business. What does your workflow look like? Like, you're not getting sales. Okay, let's work that backwards to, what does your marketing look like? What has your customer feedback been online? You know, where are you seeing these drop-offs, and whose responsibility is that? It's very, whatever they call those little diagrams. That's to me, that's how I envision it. And it's okay, in that vertical there, what do we need to fix? Something's off here. And it's, if you're an operator, then you have the ability to go in there and say, hey, why did we only have 2 Instagram posts last week? What happened to why is our Facebook not, whatever it is, everybody's situation is different, but the information's out there. You can find people to do it for you. Everyone's got a phone.
Right.
Yeah. Figure it out, man.
Yeah. It's starting with your phone, and then you get to a point where it's a little bit more sophisticated. You might need some assistance, and there's companies out there that are now focused completely on this thing vis-a-vis our sponsor, Evocalize. That's all they do. It's local marketing that's push button easy. And then it becomes not a question of, okay, we only had 2 Instagrams last week. And they're introducing some AI to it. So there's some intelligence around, hey, how many cases of kale do you have left in your cooler?
Yeah.
Hey, and how are we going to move that and already have some type of marketing asset that can actually just be deployed just like that? So even if you're starting with your phone, just know that that's a great place to start, because until you're starting to engage consistently, you're going to be in the space where you're not really clear about what the hell's wrong with me. or the operation.
I found that too, that and this personalization of, hey, I'm the owner, I'm talking to you, that kind of connection, or hey, we're in the kitchen here with my chef and we're going to, that stuff has just exploded with TikTok and short form video. And I'm starting to see more and more owners starting to, years of just pounding it in their head, right? Like, this, get on camera, do this. And now it's starting to happen.
Right.
A buddy of mine, a client I'm working with, one of his concepts on the real estate side, he's like, I don't like it, but I know that it's powerful. I hired a videographer and I have it 9 o'clock every Monday. He comes to me with three different things to talk about. He's building out a restaurant. So it's set up in the restaurant as they're building it out. And he talks about, like, hey, we ordered the bar today, or hey, I'm really struggling with the permitting process, and pays the guy to chop it up, allows him to be consistent and do this. And I think he's starting to realize, he's like, Kyle, how are these people? So he took over a restaurant that had been there for a long time. Mm-hmm. Well, the people, and it had been closed for about a year. So he's stepping in and he's like, people are reaching out who they don't follow me. And they're like, hey, we're so excited to see this activity here. Great. Are you going to have the shrimp scampi on the menu again or whatever? And he's witnessing it. He's experiencing it. And it's however many videos, however many pieces of content it's taken him to get there. But it's, once you experience it, now I see why this is so important.
Yeah.
And it's magical.
It's both wonderful and scary to open it up and realize that you have 14 comments to reply.
It's a whole other gig. Yeah.
Yeah.
There's both value in, I think, for the guest and also for just the business in general. The content concept and the content game thing is, it's unmatched in terms of opportunity, I think.
Yeah, you're right. Absolutely. It takes a little getting over, but you don't get stronger not doing push-ups. So it's
couldn't agree more.
And you gotta lift weights. You gotta put the work in. And unfortunately, there's a certain degree of uncomfortability to that. But I think the conversation, if it's worth it or not, is over. Somebody's gonna get it at some point or not, and that's what you need to work on. The application, the opportunity is there for you.
Yeah. And one thing Jim taught me was, with consistency comes compounding, right? So one post may not necessarily have a lot of likes or comments on it. And there's probably a point in my career where, yeah, fuck it, man, there's no game here. Why am I even doing this? And yet that's exactly the time when you just need to go a little bit further. And all of a sudden it starts becoming like compound interest, and you've got contacts and people hitting you up all over the world. And that's a really powerful feeling. And consistency is key.
Yeah, it is. It's key. And you know, it's like that. Once you're in it, it becomes more apparent.
Yeah.
If you're a spectator from far away, you don't get it. But once you're in it, and other people, that's how we're connected. Jim, that's how we all got connected.
Yep.
Through this. I think it's just a matter of getting your hands in it and start playing around. Be surprised what starts to come to you.
Yeah. Jim, any last thoughts before we end the show?
I think that Kyle's top three around attentive service, that it comes down to you and that kind of thing, is all just really valuable. And I'll just appreciate you taking the time to spend out with.
Yeah, man. Thanks for having me.
And again, not to belabor the point, none of that shit costs money.
Nah.
Doesn't cost money. It costs time for sure. But there's all kinds of ways to generate content ideas for an operator and leveraging it. And that should make everybody really eager to try.
Yeah. Right. The humility part of it, again, not to beat anything, but if you get on, you don't know where, I'm a restaurateur, I don't know where to get on TikTok. If you can just say, hey, I'm Kyle, I have this restaurant here, and they want me to get on TikTok. I don't know what the hell I'm really supposed to do. I'm going to show you what we have. If you guys like it, you let me know. I appreciate it. That level of humility, that's exactly what people want.
Right.
Open yourself up. That's what's, you don't have to have, it'll be Steven Spielberg.
And it doesn't need to be slick, because people are looking for authenticity. Yes. And to be positioning yourself like, oh shit, that dish didn't work.
Yeah.
I thought it was a great idea, but no one else bought it.
Yeah. Tune in every day for that, to watch that train wreck. Right? Yeah. It's all about the connection. What the hell do they even do? We watch
it. Exactly. Kyle, thank you so much for spending time with us. And we want to make sure that we get you back in a couple months and be it to appreciate what you've seen, what you've heard. And thank you for being on the show.
Thanks for having me, guys. I appreciate it.
Jim, as always, so great to be here with you. This has been another edition of Turning the Table, and we'll see you next week with our sponsor, eVocalize. Thanks very much, folks.
Thanks for joining us on this episode of Turning the Table with me, Adam Lamb, and Jim Taylor. We're on a mission to change the food and beverage industry for the better by focusing on staff mental health, physical and emotional well-being, by proactively measuring and managing staff workloads. Join other hospitality professionals co-creating the hashtag New Hospitality Culture by subscribing to our weekly newsletter at www.turningthetablepodcast.com/news. In every edition, you'll find innovative solutions ready to test and validate in your operation this weekend. Plus, listen to exclusive bonus content just for you. Connect with us on LinkedIn, Facebook, and Instagram at Turning the Table Podcast. If you found value in this episode, please consider leaving us a review on Apple Podcasts or on Spotify. Give us a star rating. It helps other hospitality professionals just like you find the show. Or better yet, grab the show link and share it with a friend or colleague who you want to see succeed. Thanks for stepping in and speaking out for an industry, craft, and fraternity that serves us all. Remember, retention is the new cool, y'all. This podcast was written, directed, and produced by me, Adam Lamb, and Jim Taylor. Turning the Table is a production of Realignment Media.